Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 16th of June at 6:30. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking to an Irish startup in healthcare, and we'll be chatting to a new age verification company using AI, and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites internationally, which we shall do in the proud and pious company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning to you, Joe. Hope you're well.
I am very well after a lovely weekend away in Munich. I hope you had a lovely weekend as well.
Yes, very good too. Watching my son play cricket on the Saturday and daughter play cricket on the Sunday. So okay. With different results.
Did you get the awful weather that Ireland got on Saturday?
No, stunning. A bit windy, but very sunny and very pleasant. Right? And I think we're looking forward to a hot weekend in England this week, which is great because it's Royal Ascot week and I've got my top hat off a couple of days this week. So I'm looking forward to that
very much. In your tails already. Now, let's start with, of course, the reaction on the markets to the swapping of missiles between Iran and Israel. Steep losses in Middle Eastern markets yesterday.
Yeah, and obviously the understandable thing that's going up is the oil price. I mean, markets were understandably getting nervous on Friday, though. Let's face it, if a war breaks out, then share prices are the least of our worries, quite frankly. So let's, fingers crossed on all fronts there. But on Friday, oil price started to motor, and it's really motored over the weekend, back up to about $75 a barrel, way up from its lows of 60 for the year, though. Still down year on year. So it may take some time for this to start to filter through to the pumps. But Iran is a major producer. 3 million barrels of oil a day. That's about 3% of world production. Some of that is sanctioned and can't be sold, but a lot of it is still sold into the international market to those who aren't too fussy about sanctions. So if Iran were to be knocked out and the Israelis have targeted some of their refineries and processing facilities, that could put some upward pressure on the oil price. We've seen this before, particularly in the 1970s, and that did lead to a couple of very nasty batches of inflation when a lot of us are already worrying about sticky inflation, cost of living, could be an additional complication if this lasts. But clearly in the end, a major priority is hoping that the peace breaks out fairly quickly.
Indeed. And I see how much oil is sent through the Straits of Hormuz beside Iran. A huge amount. Most of it is, of course, Saudi, but also UAE and Qatar is sent through that very volatile bit of water.
Yeah, again, and we saw these concerns when we've had the attacks on Yemeni shipping and oil tankers previously. So again, if for any reason there was to be an extended problem in terms of getting ships through, then that would put further pressure on oil. I mean, there are stockpiles. America's got about 350 million barrels of oil stashed away for rainy days and things like this. But in the end, overall supply is pretty tight. And it could start to filter through to oil prices relatively quickly.
Okay, let's move to the US consumer, the US holidaymaker. A decent story about that in the Financial Times.
Yeah, it's picked up some data from the Transportation Security Administration in the USA, which tracks footfall. And in the last 90 days, the number of air flying passengers in the USA is down from last year. We saw a little bit of a hint of that in the American official inflation statistics last week. Airline ticket prices were down. Hotel prices were down. And I guess the logical assumption is there may be two causes of this. There is anecdotal evidence that fewer people are traveling to America, Canadians particularly. And also you suspect that maybe the American consumer, having been under the pump, like a lot of us from inflation over the past few years, and also worrying about a small tick up in employment, is just starting to cut back a little bit. US consumers have continued to spend very, very freely, borrow pretty freely. And if times did get tougher in the States for any reason, higher prices because of tariffs or unemployment, then that could really start to put some pressure on them. So this may be one of those first indicators that we are seeing a bit of pressure there. Whether that prompts the president to change tack on some of his policies or not, we'll find out.
Of course, America is a giant manufacturer, but it is huge consumption economy as well.
And two-thirds is services. Absolutely.
There you go. So it really does matter if there is a huge dip downwards in holiday making in the United States, people coming over and spending their hard-earned money in the U.S. I have heard various different anecdotes that Las Vegas is far quieter than usual. Mm.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. But I mean, that would be a microcosm of it, really. But again, 2/3 of your economy is based on services, and clearly restaurants, hotels, airlines, services industry. So there could be some pretty quick knock-on effects there.
I'm more closer to home for Trump himself. there seems to be evidence that he has made a lot of money from cryptocurrency in the last few months.
He has to place a filing owing to his public office, and that is published and released. And according to this filing, he's made just under 50 million euros from his World Liberty Financial Organization, which he backs with his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric. And that's basically a cryptocurrency group, and it pushes cryptocurrencies. He's got his Trump meme coin. He's talking about releasing more of those, and also setting up some kind of Bitcoin treasury fund. I guess a lot of people would see this as a potential conflict of interest, given that he can set policy and yet profit from it from the same
time.
You
think?
I would personally argue so. A lot of it doesn't seem to be making too much difference amongst Trump supporters in the end. It feels all wrong to me, though. I should point out there's a brilliant book on Winston Churchill, the former British Prime Minister. I know his reputation might not be as strong now as it was 20 or 30 years ago. There's a book about his finances called No More Champagne, where when he was running out of money, A, he told his staff there would be no more champagne with dinner, and B, he took advice from the Chancellor of the Exchequer on how to avoid taxes on his book royalties.
I understood.
So there is a precedent.
But he was drinking champagne for breakfast, apparently.
Madame Roger used to send it to him for free in the end, because she got such good publicity out of him, the fact that he only drank Paul Roger champagne. But his finances were colourful, to say the least. It's a very entertaining book.
I must have a look at it. Now, finally, Nippon Steel of Japan, of course, is buying US Steel.
This has been dragging on for nearly 2 years. The US Steel struggling. President Trump, steel seems to be an industry pretty close to his heart, hence the tariffs and everything else that we've been talking about for a long time. But it was actually the Biden administration that blocked the Japanese bid Nippon Steel for US Steel. The Trump administration has now approved it, but only on the grounds that the American government keeps a golden share and that the Japanese guarantee minimum levels of investments of like 13 million, about 10 billion euros over the next three or four years. Intriguing that, you know, there's a policy change here, whether you call it another U-turn or not, we can debate. But it's a 13 billion euro deal. And the president is giving the justification, well, we've got a lot of jobs at stake here, so we're guaranteeing investment, we're guaranteeing those jobs. There's also a suggestion that the Japanese have used this as a bit of leverage in their trade talks with America over tariffs, and they are the world's biggest individual owning country of American government bonds, so they lend America a heck of a lot of money, and if they were to dump those bonds, the borrowing costs would go up and pressure American finances. So Trump doesn't hold all of the cards when it comes to trade talks.
I'll watch that one with great interest. Have a great week, Russ.
You too, Joe. Take care.
That is Russ Mulder from AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.